Well, we can go on with this. We also know in Dubai, transferred money through Dubai, $110,000 was transferred to Muhammad Atta at Sun Bank in Florida prior to the 9/11 attacks. The connections are amazing. I tell people who are a little older who remember World War II, I said, what if I were to have told you a couple weeks after the attack on Pearl Harbor that President Roosevelt and his family, his closest family members, all for several years had investments with Tojo and the Imperial Japanese High Command, that they had all these joint ventures together, they were friends, they had associated with one another. And they said, well, if we knew that about Roosevelt after the attack on Pearl Harbor, we would demand them to be taken out and hanged. I just laughed, you know, just smile. I said, well, you have that situation really with the Bush family and the Saudis, who were financiers and funders of bin Laden, with the help of us since the Mujahideen war against the Soviet Union. And all the members of the Bush family have been involved. Jeb has been involved with these people. He went over after Desert Storm to cash in with the Kuwaitis and the Saudis and the Emirates before he became governor of Florida. And if you think it's safe to go in the water, I just want to read a little something that a quote I have in the book that comes from Neil Bush when he was on one of these trips over to Dubai. This is what Neil said. He said, my father was the 41st president and my brother is the 43rd. I think that if Pierce finishes high school, this is his son. I think that's interesting, isn't it? I think that if Pierce finishes high school, he'll be the 50th president of the United States. The nightmare could continue. There are other Bushes waiting in the wings. We've got Pierce, if he finished, I guess he finished high school. Looks like he takes after his uncle, Uncle George. We've got George P. Bush, of course, he's the son of Jeb, who's rumored to be the hot, you know, the hot Bush, you know, that all the women will go for. And there's other, of course, there's other Bushes waiting in the wings, as well as Walkers. I mean, you turn on that Hollywood gossip, was it Access Hollywood, I think, or there's Billy Bush. He's one of them, that little guy who runs around with all those terrible Hollywood liberals that the Bushes are always railing about. He's certainly cashing in on that whole operation. What about George W. and his connections with these folks over in the Middle East? Well, if it wasn't for the bin Laden family, George W. Bush's early businesses would have failed because they were one of his biggest funders. They stuck money into Arbusto, the bin Ladens, and later on with Harkin Energy. One of his closest friends, George W., is a guy named James Bath, who was the registered agent for the bin Laden family in the United States. He was the guy who set up for the bin Ladens a company called Bin Laden Aviation. It's funny how the bin Ladens were involved in a lot of airports and aviation companies in Texas starting in the 1980s. But when you realize what was going on back then, Iran-Contra, and a lot of these subterranean networks involving the CIA, the bin Ladens were right there with the rest of them, cashing in. Then we look at Enron. Enron, of course, you know, Kenny Boy Lay. Isn't it funny how Bush forgot who he was after he was convicted? He acted like he never heard of this guy, when in fact, in 2000, the Bush campaign aircraft had been repainted. It was the Enron corporate jet before it became the Bush campaign plane. Enron had been dealing with the Taliban while they were hosting the Al-Qaeda for a number of years. September 7th, 1996, there was a meeting in Tashkent, Uzbekistan, involving Enron, Unocal, and the Taliban representatives about something called the Central Asian Gas Natural Gas Pipeline, which was supposed to go from Uzbekistan through Afghanistan to Pakistan and the Indian Ocean coast. Carlisle was involved in that too. So who do we see involved in this pipeline project? Well, we see a number of the people that you'll recognize from the current administration. You'll see that people involved were people like Zalmay Khalilzad, the current U.S. ambassador to Iraq, former U.S. ambassador to Afghanistan. He was a consultant on the UNICAL project. Another consultant was Hamid Karzai, the current president of Afghanistan. Chevron was certainly involved in those negotiations. Who was on its board of directors at the time? Condoleezza Rice. We also find a company that specializes in pipeline construction also involved, a company called Halliburton that just so happened at the time to be headed up by one Richard Cheney. The list goes on and on. The Taliban in the late 90s came to Houston, even got were given a visit, a tour of the Johnson Space Center. Quite amazing for a bunch of people who like to think that they live in the 13th century to go to the Johnson Space Center. But the most amazing thing was what happened. Now Clinton cut off all those ties, those links, after the bombing of our embassies in East Africa in August of 98, the negotiations were halted. But no sooner had Mr. Bush come into office in January 2001, the negotiations began again. And with greater fervor. Just weeks before the 9/11 attacks, a special envoy of Mullah Omar, the head of the Taliban, came to Washington. His name was Rahmatullah Hashami. There had been other negotiations between the Taliban and the Bushes, but this was an interesting one because Mr. Hashami brought with him a carpet, a gift carpet, from the Mullah Omar to President Bush. And he was in the National Security Council. He was in the old executive office building. He was in the National Security Council. This envoy from the head of the Taliban, and if we believe what we're told by the 9/11 Commission, which I think is one of the biggest conspiracies, crazy conspiracy theories we've seen since the Warren Commission. If we're to believe that envoy brought that gift carpet at the same time Bin Laden is planning for the attacks